Let's turn to the book of Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. It's been several weeks ago. The Lord kind of stopped us on this verse of Scripture. We've been at different places in the Bible, in God's Word. And it's still in my heart to stand in awe this morning. If you're able, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God this morning, and let's read verse 4 of Psalm 4 together. Read it with me, would you? Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for each heart and life that's come this way today. For those, our Father, that are in the hospital or sick at home, we pray your blessings upon them. We pray, Lord, for the family where death has come, the Blair family, God, that you would comfort them as only you can, and speak to the hearts of those in that family, Lord, that are not yet saved. I ask you, dear Father, today to help us in the Word of God, and Lord, help us that we might see truth that would transform our lives. Lord, make our lives this day a blessing to our people, and make us a blessing in this world as a church, Lord. Let us be a light. Lord, I thank you for the good singing this morning. Lord, I know that the singing would be nothing apart from the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the good Spirit this morning, the Holy Spirit of the living God. And Lord, we pray this morning that you'd clothe us in our calling. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church today. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn back with me, if you will, now to the book of Judges. I'm going to give you a little synopsis this morning of a man by the name of Samson. And I know that Samson many, many times is preached in a negative light. He messed up, he did, but I'm glad God can take mess-ups and make something out of them, amen? And I thank the Lord for Samson. What I want to look at this morning, briefly, first of all, in Samson's life, is the great power of the Spirit. If you look here in verse number 24 of Judges chapter 13, the Word of God said, "And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." I want to put a little emphasis this morning, if I may, to start with in Samson's life on the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God. I'm afraid that in our day, beloved, many times we're guilty of trying to do something for God apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded what the Bible said in the book of Zechariah when he said, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Every one of us that are here today that have been born again, we're born again by the Spirit of the living God. We were born from above, and the Spirit of God had to do that work in our heart and in our life. I want to say something about Samson's parents. I'm not going to read all the Scripture, but it's evident to me when the angel of the Lord came and spoke first to his mother, and then later as she went out and got Manoah, the father, and brought him in. It's evident to me that these parents were very interested in having the Lord's instruction for raising a child. I want to say this today. It's dangerous to try to raise a child without the Lord's instruction. We need that. Say amen. We need to be sensitive to the Lord. And Manoah and his wife, Samson's parents, were certainly sensitive to the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I don't know why that you would use the Scripture, stand in awe, alongside of the life of Samson." Let me give you just a couple of reasons here as we get started looking at the great power of the Spirit, first of all, in Samson's life. The Word of God said in verse number 5 that Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I came face to face with a young lion, I'm going to try to go the other way faster than the lion's coming after me. Amen? But here in the Word of God, and I think this is important to see, I think that sometimes we might even be tempted to give Samson the credit, but the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. If I know anything in this generation, we need the Spirit of the Lord to come mightily upon our families, upon our church, upon your pastor. We need the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, here in this scripture, there's a young lion, and the Bible said he ran him as he would have ran a kid. In other words, the lion was no different to Samson than a lamb would have been as far as taking it on. And everybody knows it would be easy to take on a lamb. You say, I don't understand why you would stand in awe. Listen to me this morning. I'm actually just that close to trembling on the inside if I'm not already. There's a lion that's stronger than this lion. The Word of God said he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants your marriage and he wants my marriage. He wants your children and he wants my children. He wants your grandchildren and he wants my grandchildren. And we better have a generation of folks. I'm talking about moms and dads and mamas and papas and teenagers that are interested in the mighty power of God, that we might be able to resist the enemy that's after us in this generation. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he ran him as he would a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. I believe that, if you want to be honest about it, Samson stood in awe of what had just happened. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that if we would follow the instructions that God has given us in the Word, then one day, beloved, you could be sitting there and your son or grandson standing here in this pulpit preaching the Word of God and you standing in awe because of what God has done in his life. But we can't do it apart from God. We must have the mighty Spirit of God to come upon us. The Word of God, down in verse number 19, the Bible said again, and I'm going to go on here briefly, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them. I'm not going to get into all the story as to why he did that, the riddle and all of that, but I'm trying to just emphasize the importance in Samson's life of the Spirit of God that came upon him. He didn't do it apart from God. He did it in the Lord. And then if you look at verse number 14 in chapter 15, the Word of God said, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. How many believes the enemy's still shouting against us? We're shouting the glory. Say amen. But you say, preacher, you got Bible for that? The Bible talks about the accuser of the brethren that stands before the Lord day and night. He's never going to give up, amen, till one day he's put where he belongs, in his real home, while you and I are standing in our real home with the Lord. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. I want to say this morning, I stand in awe of the mighty power of God. I stand in awe of the power of the Spirit. The second thing I want to touch on this morning, we could preach a while right there, but I think you've got the gist of that. We need him. You know what the Bible said, if a man would ask a fish, if a son would ask a fish, would you give him a stone? The Bible said we need to be asking for that mighty power of God. We need to be asking that the Spirit of God would fill us, and the Spirit of God would use us, and the Spirit of God would help us, that we might be a blessing. We see here that Samson, because of the mighty power of God, was able to take the jawbone of an ass and slay 1,000 Philistines. The word of God in chapter number 16 is going to teach us not only that the power, the great power of the Spirit, beloved, we ought to stand in awe of that. But I'm going to give you this morning. Listen to me carefully. I don't only stand in awe in Samson's life of the great power of sin, but I stand in awe of the great price tag, or the great power of the Spirit, but I stand in awe also of the great price tag on sin. Beloved, in chapter number 16, in verse number 1, I want you to see that Samson went to Gaza, and he saw there a harlot, and he went in to her. You say, "Preacher, do you believe there's a price to be paid for sin?" I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that sin ought to scare us more than a rattlesnake. Amen. But there are a lot of people today that are excusing sin, that are condoning sin. I'm telling you, it's going on everywhere. Amen. But listen, it doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it any less sin. And here's a man that had been endued with the mighty power of God, the Spirit of God, going in to a harlot. You say, "Preacher, why would this happen?" Well, Samson's learning something the hard way about the warfare that's going on the inside of him. The Bible talks about, I believe in the book of James, how the Spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And now that we've seen this man for a couple of chapters walking with God, and we've seen this man endued with the mighty power of God, and we're going to witness a powerlessness now in his life. And he's paralyzed because of sin. The Bible talks about a great price tag in this chapter. Let's look at it together. The Bible said there that Samson lay till midnight. He heard about, they lie in wait for him all the night in the gate of the city. He lay till midnight. And in this chapter, you start out in verse number 3. He arose at midnight, took the doors, the gate, the city, the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all. He had a great strength. He put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Let me say this to you. If you go back to Judges chapter 14 and verse number 4, look at this with me, please. The Bible said, "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord when he married the Philistine, that he sought an occasion against the Philistine." Can I tell you this, beloved? What's going on here in chapter 14 and verse number 4? God is seeking an occasion against the Philistines. What's going on in chapter number 16? The Philistines are seeking occasion against the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I thought they were seeking an occasion against Samson." It'll be a happy day in your life, beloved, when you realize, listen to me. You say the enemy hates this church. Oh, we could say that and maybe bow up with a little bit of pride. He hates the God of this church and the Savior of this church. It's the Lord Jesus that he hates. In your life and in my life, in our church, in every church that's true to the Word of God. Amen. And so now the enemy is seeking an occasion against the Lord. The Bible said it came to pass in verse number 4 that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Watch how this price tag is unfolded. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, what are those next two words? LSD. Lust. That's what the Word of God talked about in the book of James. And then sin. And then death. Every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The Word of God talks about entice him. And see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means that we may prevail against him, that we may bind him and afflict him. You know what the devil would like to do to every one of us? He'd like to bind us.
He'd like us to get in a place where we don't have liberty to say praise the Lord or enjoy the good blessings of God. Amen. But here in the Word of God, Samson's getting himself in trouble, not realizing that just as the power of God was great in his life and the power of the Spirit was great in his life, the power of sin also is going to be great. The Word of God said, listen to the saved people in Romans chapter number 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. Thank God the blood of Jesus can give us victory that we don't have to be overcome by sin. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is teaching us here about this downward spiral. You see, I believe what's happened is that Samson has begun to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What he's thinking now is, you think about the lions and you think about the 30 men and you think about, beloved, the 1,000 men that's been whooped with the jawbone of an ass. He may not come out and say it, but in my heart, I believe he's thinking with all of his heart more of himself than he ought to think. I believe one of the most dangerous times in a child of God's life is right after a great victory, right after God has wrought a great victory in their life. If we're not careful, beloved, we'll let our guard down. If we're not careful, we'll be trapped just like Samson was in sin. If you look at verse number 7, Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, I shall be weak and be as another man. I want to ask you something this morning. I want every man in this building. You say, preacher, my name is written in heaven. I know that. The Spirit of God dealt with my heart and I've been saved by the grace of God. Would you raise your hand? Every man in this building. You know what the devil wants? He wants you to be weak. And he wants you to be just like every other man. Samson, it should have put off an alarm in his head when he said the words. He's playing with her. He's playing a game. I want to say this morning. I'll say it to everybody. Sin's not a game. I said sin is not a game. It's not something to be played with. The Word of God said here, if you'd tie me up, and so she, the lords of the Philistines brought up 7 green withs which had not dried. She bound them, bound him with them, and there were men lying in wait. It scares me to death just to read this passage. I started reading and studying on Friday. Listen to me. Listen to me. We don't know who or what is lying in wait right outside those doors. How we need the mighty Spirit of God upon us to give us discernment, to help us before we step in that trap. The Bible said here there were men lying in wait, abiding in the chamber. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as the thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto him, Samson, you've mocked me. Tell me now, I pray thee. This reminds me, reading this, of a lady years ago. I was, Nick, talking about your grandmother there the other night. She's just one of the sweetest ladies I've ever met, Miss Viola. And years ago, there's a reason I just said that. I could see some her demeanor, her personality. There was a lady in the church that would never say anything negative about anybody. Never. And the pastor said to the deacons, he said, I'm going to fix her today. He said, y'all just stand around close as she leaves today, and she will say something negative today. And so they were all interested. So they stood around in earshot in the vestibule, and he shook hands with the lady and said, sister, tell me. just exactly what do you think of the devil? She said, he's persistent. You know what I believe? I believe you'd ask Samson, what do you think of the devil? He'd say he's persistent. Not just once, not just twice, not just three times. The Word of God over there, when you read over there about Jesus in the wilderness, the Word of God said then, after he said it is written, it is written, it is written, the Bible said then the devil leaveth him for a season. The Christian life is seasonal. There's going to be seasons of mountaintop. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? There are going to be seasons of valley. Seasons of discouragement and seasons of encouragement. There are going to be seasons. I believe that's one of the reasons that God told the man of God, Paul told Timothy, be instant, in season and out of season. Here in the Word of God, Samson's looking at a great price tag on sin. He said, if they bind me fast in verse 11 with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Let me ask you something. Why would any man of God, why would any child of God want to be like any other man? Why would you? I'm going to tell you something. When we leave here, there's only one man we're going to be like, and that's Jesus. And I believe we ought to try as much as we can to be like him while we're here. Jesus. He said, then I'll be weak and be as another man. Look in verse number 12. Delilah took the new ropes and she said, the Philistines be upon thee. There were liars in wait. There they are again, abiding in the chamber. I don't know about you. When I see these teenagers come in here and I see the children that are off to our side on both sides, it scares me to know what's lying in wait. What's lying in wait in the schools. It scares me in our nation to know what's lying in wait. My wife told me this morning that, I can't even remember his name, Bloomberg, we're going to buy a $10 million ad against guns. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that's the Second Amendment. And I don't care how much money you got. Say amen. I'm telling you, there's some people in this country that's trying to get a bite that they're not going to be able to chew. They're lying in wait everywhere. If we're not careful, beloved, we're going to be sleeping when we ought to be sounding the warning, when we ought to be spirit-filled, when we ought to be interested in the mighty power of God. Great price tag. They're lying in wait everywhere. In verse number 15, how couldst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him, what's the next word? Daily. With his words. With her words. And urged him. So his soul was vexed unto death. I stand in awe, beloved, how that in one chapter, actually two, chapter 14 and chapter 15, you're looking at a man that over and over and over again, the mighty Spirit of God comes upon him. And in one chapter, he's paying the price. The price for sin. There's some things I really didn't think about until I read through this time. I stand in awe of Samson's lie. The Word of God said in verse number 17, he told her all of his heart, said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Beloved, that's the enemy's goal, is that you be no different from the world, that you have no light to shine in this dark world that we live in. The Word of God came down in verse number 20. Of course, she made him sleep there on her lap, brought him in, they shaved him. The Bible said in verse 20, she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson," and he awoke out of his sleep. Can I say this morning? You know whether you're asleep on the job or not. The Bible said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. They were so wrapped up in carnality that they weren't getting the message of Christ to a lost and a dying world. He said, "I'll go out as I did at other times before, and I'll shake myself." This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible, "and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." I always need to say this. I believe it's important. When you're talking about the Spirit of God in the Old Testament economy, he's the same Spirit, but his ministry is different in this aspect. In the Old Testament, he will come upon a man and empower a man, and sometimes stay with that man, and sometimes depart from that man. In the New Testament, the church, the born-again believer, the Spirit of God, he's the one that convicts us. He's the one that convinces us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the one that converts us and births us into the family of God. And beloved, he said, "I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee." He said, the Spirit of God, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption." You say, "Preacher, why can he take the seal off on the day of redemption?" Because I'll have a new body. I'll have no more war going on inside. Amen. I'll be just like Jesus. Amen. So the seal can be taken off because the work is finished. One preacher said, "I'm just two-thirds saved." And that would mess a lot of people up. But he said, "My soul is saved. My spirit is saved." He said, "My flesh is awaiting redemption. The body is awaiting redemption." The price tag. What did it cost Samson? The Philistines took him. And these words here said, "It put out his eyes." I was reading that and I began to weep. I was sitting over in a corner with a lamp over my Bible. You say, "Preacher, why?" Because my eyes are getting dim. Sitting over there with my Bible on Friday, reading, meditating, praying over the service and what God would have for today. You say, "Preacher, he's blind now." What would it mean to you if you were blind today? Would it mean anything to you if you couldn't read this anymore? If your eyes were put out? Brother Gary Joe, would it mean anything if we could no longer look in the eyes of our little babies? I went over to help Bob with the... No, I didn't. I went to install a hot water heater. Bob watched. He helped some. I knew Sawyer had been sick. And really, I went home and my wife said, "Did you give Sawyer a hug?" I said, "What do you think?" It was his birthday, people. Yes, I gave him a hug. I begin to think if my eyes were gouged out, Brother Don, the things that I could no longer see. I came down from the shop above the house the other day and noticed there's a bush there and it's already budding out. I looked up at the pear tree and it's already budding out. It won't be too long if Jesus don't come. It'll be in full bloom. The dogwood will be in full bloom. You say, listen, I looked up the other night, and God is my witness. It wasn't, I think, Joy, it was a text that you sent to me about the visit. I looked up and God reminded me of that sermon, knocking holes in the darkness. I looked up in the stars and worshiped Him that gave His life for me. Just a little while, got a text that said, preacher, we're praying God will help you to knock some holes in the darkness. But I couldn't see those stars. He said, I want to wrap the message up this morning. There's a great price tag. His liberty's gone. He's down in the mill now. He's grinding. He's doing the work of an oxen. Round and around and around he goes. But the Word of God said in verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow. I'm going to be nice this morning, but them Philistines remind me of another group. They ain't too smart. I believe I kept a close check on that. Say amen! His hair began to grow. Listen. I don't know this for sure, but I believe it with all of my heart. I know the Bible is talking about here the price. His eyes are gouged out. He's grinding. They're making sport now in the next few verses. They're laughing at him. They're mocking him. There's that mighty man that took the jawbone. Look how mighty he is now. Same thing's going on in this world. A lot of people that used to serve God. A lot of people that used to go to the house of God. That used to let their light shine for God. Sin has robbed them. Put their eyes out. They're no longer effective for the Lord. I stand in awe of the great power of the Spirit in Samson's life, the great price tag on sin in Samson's life. But I'm going to give you something in the next 5 minutes or so, if you'll just stay with me, that I believe will bless your heart. I stand in awe of the great pardon in Samson's life. Brother Larry, I see him. I don't know how long it took, Brother Steve. I don't believe long. If you've ever walked with God, it won't take you long if you get out of sorts with God. Say amen. Right. Amen. Yeah. I don't know how many times he went around in that meal till he began to say something like this, oh God, how foolish could one man be? Oh God, I treated the things that were precious. Oh Lord, I believe these words somewhere, Brother Grizzle, come out of his mouth. Forgive me. Oh God, I've brought shame. Oh God, I remember the lion. Oh God, I remember having the power of God on my life. I remember taking the jawbone of that ass and whooping 1,000 Philistines. I remember. He said, preacher, why does this mean so much to you? Because if I make it to heaven without walking in the shoes of Samson, it'll be by the grace of God. And it'll be because, beloved, listen, that I don't wait till I've lost something to cherish it. Many men, they've lost their marriage before they cherish their marriage. They've lost their family before they cherish their family. I want to say this morning. I believe many men have lost their ministry because they stopped cherishing their ministry. This is an honor to be able to open this Bible. Brother Steve, as you did in Sunday school, and Brother John does, and many others do, opening this pulpit, we should cherish that and realize that sin... Now listen to me carefully right here. I think you'll get this. I'm going somewhere, and I'll be done. I believe, Brother Don, that we can get to a place where we could see physically, still be able to read. But how many knows it takes more than physical eyesight?
You're right. Yeah, sure.
This book is not a carnal book. It's a spiritual book, and it takes the Spirit of the living God to reveal the things
Amen.
That God wants us to see
yes.
in this book. If you've walked with God, you know what it is. Now you say, preacher, what makes you think the Lord pardoned Samson? Two things, and I'm done. If you go over here, come on down here, and the Bible said that the lords of the Philistines, they gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, their little g god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. By the way, that's kind of what they were doing with Jesus when they crucified him, was just making sport, making fun. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Gambling for his garments at the foot of the cross. The Word of God said here, call for Samson. And Samson in verse number 26 said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may fill the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Oh, he's fixing to lean on them, all right. Now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. Now I want to ask you a question. What kind of pillar does it take to hold up 3,000? Is anybody with me right there? I don't believe that this is what it was talking about, Brother Larry. And in that day, the pillar, no doubt, would have been made of stone. The whole roof, 3,000 people up there making sport, is being supported. And Samson called unto the Lord. God just gave me the verse, Brother Don. I've been saying, I believe. God just gave me the verse. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Is that right or is that wrong?
Right. Right.
So you can't tell me that Samson hadn't repented. The iniquity, Brother Rose, was gone. He's ashamed. And he says, I'm going to call on my God one more time. And the Bible says Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Oh God, do it one more time. One more time. That I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. You say, preacher, do you believe that there's a great price tag on sin? Yeah. He starts out at the top of the hill in chapter 16. He ends up on the bottom of the heap in chapter 16. The Bible said he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. You could look at this in a negative light if you wanted to. But let me show you a positive light. I believe Samson was saying, I'd rather die with the Lord than to live with the Philistines. I'd rather die with the Lord than to live with the Philistines. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm finished. I started to say I'm done, but Miss Eve's finally got me fixed on that one. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews, James, and Peter. Hebrews chapter number 11. I hope this will be a blessing to you. In verse 32, please. I believe God had forgiven him, Brother Steve. He gave him that power back. The Bible said in verse 32, what shall I say more, for the time would fail me. He must have been a Baptist preacher to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of, who's that? Where did God put him? Right here in the middle of the hall of faith. But I want to show you something. And of Jephthah and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And here's the one that God got my heart about with Samson. Out of weakness, we're made strong. I believe that day when they called Samson to come up there and make sport, they underestimated the man of God, and they underestimated the God of the man, Samson. I don't see how we could read Hebrews 11 and see what God did in Samson's life and not agree that God said, yep, Samson, you messed up. You messed up royally. But I'm still here, son. I don't know about you, but here stands a man that's glad that God can pardon mess ups. Turn it around and use it for His glory. This morning, as Brother Ralph and Sister Becky come, I want to ask you, where are you? Are you one that's had the privilege to stand in awe at the mighty power of the Spirit? On any given Sunday, there's children that come into this church that see the price tag on sin in their family's life. Sometimes a boy can grow up and his daddy's a drug addict and he wants to be a drug addict. Sometimes he grows up and he sees the price that daddy's paying and he never touches the drugs. My question for the church is, where are we in that equation? Are we going to take the Word of God and teach them the Word of God and teach them there's a better way? Amen. Stand in awe and sin not. There's a price tag. The man that I heard say it was Brother Danny Sykes. He said it to me. We were discussing something one day. I'm not sure it was original with Brother Danny or not, but he's the one that told me He said, Brother Rick, the truth is, every man can choose his sin, but no man can choose the consequences. That ought to scare us this morning. Say amen. Cause us to fear God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God now. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's looking around.